You were listening to 99.3 Nigeria Info. Fantastic morning to you again. It's Thursday. It's a good time to have a health conversation. My name is Wemimo Adewuni on the Money Crossfire today. Let's talk hydrocephalus. Sounds like a big name, right? It's a medical condition. And you have 1 hour to learn about what hydrocephalus is, what this medical condition entails, and the details of what you need to know. If you have possibly a family member, a relative who has this condition, how could you manage it? And also, if you, are suffering from any one of these, you should also learn how to better manage this condition. I've got a full house today joining me on the show. I needed to put off that radio. Madam Foluke, she's on the line. You need to put off that radio. All right. Yes. Let me start by introducing you since I mentioned your name first of all. Olufunke Omodele Ogunrumbi is an adult living with spina bifida. Can you put off that radio? I can still hear the feedback. You need to put off your radio.
Hello?
Please put off the radio at your end there.
Okay.
All right. She's an adult who's living with spina bifida, and she'll be telling us about her experience. She's also she's a civil servant and also has a degree in psychological counseling. She'll be joining us. Your radio is not off yet. I can still hear it. You need to totally put it off, not turn it down. Put it off, please.
My radio?
Yes.
I cannot.
Please put it off. I'll get back to you, but please put off that radio. It's giving me a sort of distraction. All right, going on, I've got Afolabi Fajamilo. He's a co-founder and the executive director of the Festus Fajamilo Foundation. He's also a parent of an 18-year-old son who lives with hydrocephalus. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Pardon me. Say that again.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining the show. Joining us also here is Hassan Fumilayo, who's a father to an 8-year-old daughter who's living with both spina bifida and hydrocephalus from birth. He's also the acting president of the Bifina Spina Bifida Hydrocephalus Association of Nigeria. He's a disability rights advocate. Thank you for joining the show.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
All right. Fantastic. Now, let's talk about what this condition is. Let's start with hydrocephalus, and I'll let you take off, Folabi. Tell us, what's hydrocephalus? About a big word. Big word.
Yes, it sounds a big word. Mm-hmm. Hydrocephalus, simply put, is an excessive accumulation of brain water within the space, within the brain, called the ventricles. This brain water scientifically is called cerebrospinal fluid, and it results as a result of imbalance between the amount of brain water produced and the amount of water being absorbed into the bloodstream. So that's what is a sort of as a result of imbalance between the production and the absorption rate.
So let's talk about spina bifida. That should be something around the spinal cord, if I'm correct.
Yes.
At least lay understanding of spina. What's that about?
Yeah, it's a congenital malformation of spine and spinal cord, and it results within 25 days of conception, even when a woman doesn't know she's already conceived. And
You mean when a woman is pregnant, within days?
Yes.
That fetus?
During the formation of the embryo. So that's when,
that malformation happens.
Certainly, yes.
Oh, my word. Is it possible to detect this while the mother is pregnant?
Yes.
At what stage could this happen?
Yeah, it can be detected, birth. And, through the normal ultrasound scan. And when that is, detected, the family is, properly counseled, to let them know, the baby they're expecting, so that they'll be well prepared for it. And it's a lifelong condition.
You mean?
Yes. It's a lifelong condition.
It's not treatable?
No, it's not. So what? It's not, it cannot be cured, but,
it's
manageable. Yes, it's manageable.
That's quite a thing. All right, let me go now to Mr. Hassan. You have a daughter who's had this condition since birth.
Yes.
So let's start from this point. At what stage did you know that the baby you were expecting had this disability? What was your reaction to that initial knowledge?
Okay. Picking up from where Mr. Folabi just mentioned, and the question you asked earlier, we had done scan, like three scans. I was excited, my first baby. So I think at 5 months, 6 months, we did scan. In fact, the scan told us he was a boy at a private hospital. Then I had this aunt of mine who says, look, I don't trust these private hospitals. Because she works in a government establishment. Go to the nearest general hospital to go and, you know, register your wife for the incoming baby. And lo and behold, at about, I think, 8 months, we went to register at general hospital in Isolo. And lo and behold, after the first scan in Isolo, first it was that, well, it's a girl. Then the doctor now said, oh, hold on. He went out, he came back, and he said, there's something wrong with the pregnancy. I said, what is it? He said, there's something wrong with the baby's head.
So
that's where, you know, I heard that word before in my life, hydrocephalus. So then, just like how Mr. Folabi mentioned, you know, he tried to brief me on what it was, I and my wife. And of course, we were shocked and devastated. Then he had to also bring in his own senior team members. And we also had to do what you call a confirmatory test.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's when the whole journey began.
At 8 months.
At 8 months. So we had to, you know, the confirmatory test now showed us that, yes, there's hydrocephalus there. And we didn't even see the spina bifida.
Oh.
Yes. We did it. The scan didn't say that. All they saw was just the head. So, ideally, we're preparing for the usual normal delivery. So, of course, if after that scan and all that, it was like, we should prepare to deliver this baby so as to be able to save the mother's life as well. So we don't lose the baby
and
the mother. And so, that's how the journey began. And we went into theater about some, I think, a week after then, only for the medical team now said, well, okay, the baby is out. I was aware that hydrocephalus is coming in, still trying to come to terms.
Yeah, with that realization.
Only for the team to tell me again that, well, there's something else, Mr. Formula. I said, what is it again? He said, well, the baby has something on her back. What is it? Then I heard the word again for the first time, spina bifida. Now they have a medical term known as a myelomeningocele. Now she had the worst type.
Oh.
Yes. So which is, it was ruptured. Now there are some children who are born with spinal bifida. They are lucky. It's just like a sack behind that comes out, you know, at the back. Some is hair. For her, the sack had burst. So it was a journey from then on.
I can only imagine. 8 years after, describe this journey to us. What's the day-to-day, your day-to-day like caring for your daughter?
Okay. Well, I could say she has been a miracle. I mean, I was still discussing with Mr. Folabi downstairs the experience. You know, yes, the treatment is surgical, but the management, even the treatment doesn't come easy. You know, so from there, we had to be taken to the teaching hospital here in Lagos. And there was the other journey, no bed space. So we had to lay pressure. I think I went about 6 hospitals that midnight.
Wow.
You know, trying to, haven't been moved from general hospital to teaching hospital. And they all said, no space, there's nothing we can do. And I think about 2 of them, I remember clearly, I said, why are you giving yourself all this stress? The teaching hospital has rejected you, no space. Why don't you just inject this child and let her go? And, you know, it was my whole world coming down. I said, what do we do? I think it's about 2 a.m. or thereabout. And I said, I think I'm tired of running up and down. I'm taking this girl home. Whatever is going to happen, by the time we wake up, I think God will decide that. And someone good, if I can use that word, called me very early in the morning and said, I heard you are giving birth to a baby. I'm not hearing anything. This is a week, two after. What's happening? And, you know, I burst into tears. You know, I said, Daddy, if I can speak Yoruba, Daddy, Mumakoti Mubi. Because, I mean, you had a head bulging, touching her nose. You had a baby where the back is exposed with big wound. So he said, well, is it that bad? I said, well, yes. So, and when I started that journey, that same hospital that refused me, teaching hospital here in Lagos, so had to make some calls to, you know, close persons, and I found myself back in the teaching hospital that refused us. So we were eventually given a bed space. I would spend about 4 months there.
Oh.
Yeah, because we had to wait for the surgery to come on, and because of the back was so big and it's multidisciplinary.
Yeah, come on.
And, you know, multidisciplinary in the sense that for spinal bifida, you could, the ideally, it's been done by the neurosurgeons once, you know, they help to close the back. But when it gets to a certain degree, like my daughter's case, you know, we had to bring in the plastic surgery unit because there was no skin to graft. Because, I mean, this is still, I mean, a two-week-old baby trying to save her life. And just as I was dancing, I've been reliving the experience again. I mean, there's this, for those who are in the medical line, I mean, she was on Rosefin for, I think, about 3 months just to, you know, stabilize her so she doesn't get infected. I've been in the hospital with children. I had the same condition. And by my count, I think about six of them in the hospital there, I watched about three of them die. Yeah. So, and giving all glory to God, and with great support from Mr. Afolabi Fajemilo, because, you know, I think he found me. I didn't find him. So him and his wife, they do these regular visitations to the hospitals, and, you know, and they came around and said, okay. And their own focus has always been hydrocephalus and spinal bifida. And so we started the journey from there. Then the journey now continued into how do we get her into school? You know, so there was that journey.
Did this health challenge affect her ability to learn?
Oh, well, yes, it came with its own challenges. So I think I have been privileged and, you know, lucky that I found good people around me.
Yeah, a good support system.
Good support system, that's the word. Yeah. I mean, one of the best support system I have gotten is from First Fajemilo Foundation, Mr. Afolabi Fajemilo, and his wife, you know, because they had started the journey. So seeing them, I was able to latch onto that. You know, getting her into school was tough. Went to about 9 schools in the neighborhood. None wanted to take her in. That, well, how can we take a girl that you said has done brain surgery, she has done a spinal cord surgery?
They're possibly afraid so that something doesn't go wrong.
I guess
wrong.
So, you know, and along the way, in searching for school, and he assured me that, look, this child can get educated. My son has gone through school and others too, so you can't give up. So I think I was lucky enough. I met a beautiful couple too, and you know, Mrs. Shakira Olajobi and Dr. Fatai Olajobi, the outlier school, they were the ones that gave me hope, you know. And when Mrs. Shakira Olajobi saw her, she said, hydrocephalus, bring her in.
What class is she now?
She's in, is that basic 3, if I'm correct?
Wow.
Yes.
And how's she doing in school?
Oh, she's doing fantastic because, you know, as you said, they come with their own learning challenges.
Yeah.
So you have to bid your time with them.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't train them, they do have what we call these fine motor skills issues, you know, because of the disability issues, how to hold the pen, how to write, you know. So, but besides
If you find a school that can, you know, take their time with these children, that solves it.
Let me speak with
Mr. Afolabi. So your foundation, I mean, he's rung the bell for your foundation quite a number of times. What was the idea? Why did you start this? Do you have a personal experience? Very quickly.
Okay, thank you very much. Just like Sandra has mentioned, it's just a similar story. My son was diagnosed with hydrocephalus at the age of 2 months. at Lautech Oshogbo. And, you know...
We had no idea of that.
And one of the routine visits to the hospital, and the doctor said, his forehead looks somehow, and so they gave us a request to go and do an x-ray, and we did, we had that, and we were referred to a neurosurgeon, then who confirmed the child had, encephalos, and it was like a big word. So we got home, I told my mom, my wife told her mom, and no experience of such. So we started from, we didn't agree, because the surgeon, the neurosurgeon said, this child we need to undergo brain surgery. Brain what?
Like
first child?
Like
no.
So you were in denial.
Yes. So we went praying and fasting, herbal treatment. There's one you will take 7 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 noon, 3 p.m. I'm left Oshogbo to Ibadan to Lagos. There was a time we were going from Abule Egba to Badagry three times a week.
Wow. How did that turn out? All of those treatments, did they help?
The head circumference, kept
widening.
So I think it was just, a lucky child. We finally agreed to go for surgery at the age of 14 months when it was late. So as of that time, the head circumference was already 61.
61 what?
61 centimeter. So that was when we agreed to
61 centimeters.
Yes. So, and so when we finally agreed, he had his first surgery at the Lagos State Teaching Hospital, and between that time and nobody told us, this child need to start therapy, further rehabilitation. So for the first 2 years, this child didn't, was just lying down like a vegetable. So, the experience of that first 2 years, and whenever we go for clinic, we, do see other families, what they are going through. So if my wife and I, who were already, university graduates, as of that time,
they didn't know what to do.
Those who are not as, opportune as
enlightened,
they are. And I went on the internet and I read about, cerebellar spinal bifida, and I saw that in other climes, we have people who have this condition who are, engineers, medical doctors, excelling
in various
fields.
How old is your son now?
He's 18 now.
What class is he?
He's in high school.
Already?
Yes.
We'll talk about that some more when we come back. We have an adult who's living with this condition who would also tell us how she survived all this year. So it's possible, all of that after the break. Welcome back to the Morning Crossfire. My name is Wemimo Adewuni. Good to have you on the show. World Spinal Bifida and Hydrocephalus Day is celebrated every 25th of October globally. The day is used to raise awareness regarding spinal bifida and hydrocephalus, and that's exactly what we're doing here on the show today. So we've heard experiences from the gentleman in the studio who've had personal experiences with their children. How about we speak to an adult with living with spinal bifida? Olufunke Ogurumbi, thank you again for joining the show.
Thank you so much.
I don't even need to ask you how you're doing. You have qualifications here, Bachelor of Arts in Psychology, Psychological Counseling at the University of South Africa. You currently work as an HR admin right here in one of our local government, Orile Agege, in Lagos. So apparently you're doing very well. So, but tell me, take me through your journey as someone who's had spinal bifida from I would assume from a young age till now. Yeah.
I am a 57-year-old woman living with spinal bifida. I was born with, it's a congenital defect, just like you have heard.
Yes.
And I have the deformities of the limbs. It affects my lower limbs, and then there are some other defects that it carries with it, like incontinence and some pressure sores. And all being not able to walk because of the deformities and the lower low pressure on the of the limbs. So it has been, it has not been easy. It's been challenging, but I was able to scale through all the hurdles. I went to school, my primary school, with at Ileife and Mapechu Primary School. I went to secondary school, and also I attended the University of Agriculture in Abeokuta.
Great.
I did laboratory technology. Living with spinal bifida is not easy, but with the support from families and parents, brothers and sisters, it makes the journey less stressful. It makes the journey quite not too hard. Even though being able to get those things that it requires for being able to live with spinal bifida are not so available in our community here, especially in Nigeria.
Yeah.
But the little that one is able to get is quite expensive and not easy to get. And then,
What are these things you refer to?
Mm-hmm. Those are the things that we use for incontinence management.
Okay.
Like the adult diaphragm, the catheters, getting catheters, and thank God for the foundation, the Sofagemino Foundation, who has just introduced the management of a continent to us here in Nigeria.
Mm.
It has been difficult because when I learned how to do the continence management, I was still very young then.
Mm.
I was around the age of 21. And I was able to learn it outside the country. But now it's been brought to us here by the foundation that those children that are coming up now are able to learn how to manage incontinence. Incontinence is one of the most difficult parts of living with spinal bifida.
Mr. Afolabi, so this continence, is it just urinary incontinence? And what is this management that Ms. Fumlaya refers to?
Yeah, it's both bladder and bowel incontinence.
Oh.
And like she mentioned, it's quite challenging. And it goes along.
For those who don't know what incontinence means, it means you can't hold.
Inability to have control.
Yes.
Over voiding urine or
feces.
Yeah. So as a result of that, there's issue of being able to go to school.
Yeah.
If it's a young child.
Yeah.
And there's issue of for an adult, issue of sexuality education. Engaging in intimate relationship.
Are they able to do this?
And this results to a lot of, psychological
Are they
issues.
Able to do this?
Yes. With, the continence management training, which Lufunke referred to.
Mm.
So all those, they are being trained, both, young adults, and, parents of children. So they are being trained to, be able to manage themselves, visit the toilets at interval, do what is called clean intermittent catheterization. And for a child, before he or she goes to school, the mother gets him on a potty and, do what we call boil washout.
Mm.
So with that, the child is able to
manage,
go along with daily activity in school and participate very well actively in school activities, and as a result of that, the child doesn't get embarrassed. And so these are part of what the training the foundation provides, supports the families with.
I'm going to say right here on live radio that you're doing fantastic work. I'm personally very impressed.
Thank you.
Because this is a lot of, we're talking about a lot. Even the psychological support it will go a long way. You're not alone, and you have a supportive team, walking the journey with both those living with these conditions and their families.
And we are not doing that alone. We are doing it in partnership with, teaching us, public hospitals.
Great.
As at the moment, we're working with 6 public teaching hospitals.
Great.
Across, the regions of this country. So we're working with, you know, Luth, working with Obafemi Awolowo University Teaching Hospital, University College Hospital Ibadan, University of Abuja Teaching Hospital, River State University Teaching Hospital, University of Benin Teaching Hospital. So to ensure that these services, you know, support gets to, you know, those that are in need of the services, you know, taking it closer to
them. So for those who are listening, would definitely be eager to contact you, do they have to pay for these services?
Everything is free.
Okay, tell them how to reach you. That's the next thing, straight away.
Yes, so the foundation can be reached on 080-340-95714.
Let's call it, they just got out their phones and their pens and pads, so let's call it slower now.
080-340-95714.
Are you ready for your phone lines to go on fire?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
What are your social media pages?
So we are available on Facebook, Festus Fajemilor Foundation.
Fajemilor is
FAJEMILO. Yes.
So just think of Faje and write Milo.
Yes.
That will be easier for you to remember.
Yes.
Yeah, that's on all social media pages.
So we work with our partners, you know, in the UK, US, Belgium, you know, providing us all these, you know, equipment
support
to be able to support families. And
this is fantastic. Ms. Fumlayo, tell me about your journey. We've got a few more minutes before we go. I apologize. People calling, I might not be able to take calls. There's a lot to talk about, okay? So tell me about your journey. I mean, we talked about, you know, being able to manage this incontinence in your day-to-day activities. How has this impacted on your relationships with other people?
As Funke.
Yes, Funke. Oh, I just called it. Yes. Miss Funke, yes, from you or from me?
I said that incontinence is one of the major barrier that spina bifida has, and being able to manage it with incontinence management has made life easy. Because you can imagine when you have to go out and you are not able to. When you have to start, when during that have to start voiding from use uncontrollably, but by means of being able to manage it, it has made life easy. It has helped to be able to control when you want to void and when you don't want to void. Mm-hmm. It has, once one is able to manage how to do that, it makes every other thing easy.
Right. Before we go, Mr. Fumlayo, you've had another child.
Yes, other children.
Other children. Move closer to the. Do they have this condition? Any of the two?
No, they don't. They are
so
actually
you discovered.
Twins.
Oh, there are twins. I love twins. But yeah, I'm done. Thank but you. Tell me, what did you discover that helped you evade these children having these conditions again?
Okay. Now, the next thing that brings us to the issue of prevention, because I had to ask, where did this come from? Is it a spiritual attack and all that? So the first thing we're told that it happens when a woman has folate deficiency. That is, you know, you don't have enough folic acid in your system. So it took us about 2-3 years. We had to wait because the doctors had told us that there's a likelihood that the next child you are going to have or children you are going to have might have it once a woman has it. So we had to prepare, you know.
What was this preparation?
So the preparation was that the minimum you are given, if you are ready to conceive, you should load yourself with folic acid 3 to 6 months.
Before
conception.
Hey! Sorry about that. All right, my advert is here. When we have to go. Don't stay with me, Barry Parker. Yes. All right, so we have to wrap up right now, just in a few seconds. And I wanted you to wrap up on that folic acid. Who's to take folic acid?
Yeah, any woman of childbearing age. If you have childbearing age, please be on folic acid. If you know you intend to get pregnant, use it daily.
Just keep taking folic acid. Is there an overdose?
No,
there is no.
Because, yes.
Please call that phone number one more time before we go.
080-340-95714.
That's it. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. I'll bring them back on Table Talk sometime. I'll let you know when. But that's the show. I'm back tomorrow at 5. Thanks for joining the show.